And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves. Of course, the Rocky song is very appropriate. You are in great shape. You have great knowledge. You are the person people should be talking to, whether it's training, information. It doesn't matter, because somehow you know all this stuff. It's impressive.
Well, thank you. I do my research.
You know, you do.
I kind of research the research too, because a lot of people can go, well, a study says blah blah blah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But hi, everyone. It's nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back. And of course, every first Monday from 3 to 4, fitness guru. I love that, fitness guru Journey Reeves. I love your name, by the way, Journey.
Thank you. It was my mother's nickname as a child. I wish I had this like really great, you know, reasoning behind where I got it from, but they made it up when she was a kid, and I ended up with it later on down the road.
So that is so cool,
isn't
though.
Isn't that funny?
I like it. I hear music.
It is.
Where are we?
That's my phone.
Oh, that's your phone?
I forgot to turn it off.
Oh, it sounds like Top Gun, the music from Top Gun.
Eddie Money.
Oh, is it?
That's my ringtone.
Oh, there we go. Nice ringtone. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about what? Sugar, alcoholism, and inflammation?
Yes.
Wow.
And how those are all exactly connected. Everything's connected. So I put them all in one show because it's something that we could, you know, we'll bounce back and forth with a little bit of it. But we have been talking about metabolic syndrome for the last couple of months.
That's
right.
So
this is going to wrap it up a little bit for us. There's lots of other interesting things to talk about, but I picked metabolic syndrome first because it's so important, and the blood sugar is a huge part of the reason we're having this problem. So I wanted to talk about sugar specifically because almost everyone understands that sugar is addictive. It's just like a drug.
It is addictive.
It's totally addictive, and your body – well, here's a good statistic for you right off the bat is a third of your sugar intake for the day – is used up by your brain alone.
Oh, you're
kidding.
So
you can't function without it.
Really?
Yep. And they have something called mental brownout. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
So
if you go more than 4 or 5 hours without eating and your blood sugar starts to drop and get real low and it doesn't get re-nourished, you start to get that fuzzy, foggy feeling that makes it you lose some clarity. And you start to get anxious. Anxiety starts to come up because now all of a sudden you're not performing at the level. So mental brownout. I loved that. I read that last night and I was like,
mental,
that is a keeper.
Is that like a brain freeze? I've heard that. I've seen that on TV.
Yes, it's a sugar-induced brain freeze.
So you're saying unless the brain gets sugar that it can have a mental brownout?
Yeah. You are not functioning. You're not firing on all cylinders, I guess, if we wanted to use a car analogy for it.
So it seems like then you should have some sugar. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what happens is all carbohydrate is broken down into sugar.
Oh, so if you eat a lot of bread.
You're not supposed to eat sugar. You're supposed to eat what we call complex carbohydrates regularly throughout the day, and in combination with protein and fiber is a big one. We're going to talk a lot about fiber today, too, and making sure that you're eating on regular intervals. That's where people are starting to – that if I could change one thing out there, it's that people would eat every 3 to 4 hours because then you have a steady blood supply, and you've got fresh nourishment. Fresh, you know, usually you're drinking a beverage with that, so you're getting your hydration status. And then think of it as time release, okay? If you're eating complex carbohydrates, it's being released slowly over time as sugar in just the right amounts that your body needs if you're combining it with protein and fiber and essential fatty acids as well. So you have to eat all of those, and you have to eat those in perfect combination. This is why I design people's diets, because they don't know all this stuff.
No, it's
they just
complex.
Grab the first thing they see. It's very complicated, and everybody's different too, which just adds the big whammy to it.
So what you're saying is that if you need sugar, however, don't get it from cotton candy necessarily.
Correct, yes. We have something
That's
called the
pure
glycemic
sugar, right?
index. Yes, and we're going to talk about what the glycemic index. Cotton candy would be a very high glycemic index food.
Oh.
And so people listening today should get out their pieces of either pads of paper and their pencils and start taking some notes on this stuff. Start Googling this. Start educating yourself on this because it's very, very important. We're dedicating a whole show to it today.
So this is great. So complex carbohydrates, what would that include?
Okay, complex carbohydrates are your grains mostly.
Oh, gotcha.
But also your vegetables. Oh. People forget. They're like, I'm on a low-carb diet. I'm like, well, you're eating vegetables, right? It's not that. That's not low-carb. That's low you know, grain, which we're starting to see some real correlations between high grain intake and some metabolic dysfunction.
Oh.
So very interesting that people who are eating a lot of wheat, a lot of corn, a lot of rice, a lot of potatoes, and I mean over what their body needs on a regular basis, are starting to have high triglyceride levels. And it's because of the amount of sugar that's being released into their bloodstream. They're getting something called insulin resistance. So even just your grain intake, you have to take a careful look at. What kind of grain? Where did it come from? How does it react with your body? Some people are, well, we've got a huge gluten intolerance situation in this country, which is a whole show.
Yeah.
Just gluten intolerance, because there's people walking around right now that are poisoning themselves daily.
Oh, my.
So if you know anybody who's got celiac disease, it's very devastating. It can
render you, it's
a digestive disorder, and I won't go too into graphic detail, but it's very uncomfortable and very ugly, and it's
wow.
It literally people end up hospitalized because they are not digesting their food, and it can be a real problem, and it's based on the fact that gluten, which is found in a lot of your grains, they don't have the processing mechanism to support it, and so they can't digest it, and it affects every system in the body, and that's really the reality of it. Is, you know, we're having trouble with getting people to just process food, and you know, they're eating a burger with a white bread bun on it, and they might as well inject poison right into their system.
Really, a white bread bun is like poison.
Totally. Well, and so is the meat, and then all the crap you put on top. It's like the only redeeming quality.
You forgot the French fries.
Oh God. Well, you know what? In French fries, hugely. Probably, if I was president of the United States, it's the first food that would be eliminated would be fried potatoes.
Really?
Because you took a perfectly good potato and made a poison. Yeah,
oh,
because most
gosh.
Of the oil that they're actually boiling it in is rancid. So it's sad. You know, and it's something that people don't understand. They're just going to the store. They trust the food supply, right? They're thinking they're just hungry and they need something, so they're eating. And they're not thinking for a second about what they're eating. Or maybe they're having like that momentary twinge of guilt, right? Because they're eating it. And then they're like, well, I probably shouldn't have ate that.
Yeah.
And they're eating it very
After
fast.
The fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So sugar. So we want to get into some sugar.
Yep. So here's the thing about sugar. And this is what people need to understand, is any carbohydrate that you eat is ultimately broken down into sugar. So each carbohydrate has a glycemic index, and if you Google glycemic index, you can come up with some really good glycemic index of values, because anybody who's a diabetic understands the glycemic index of the food. If they don't, then they have a terrible doctor and they need to educate themselves. But they need to understand how quickly, basically what they're doing is a scale from 1 to 100 or 0 to 100, and the higher you get to 100, the faster it's broken down into sugar. So if you were to take a tablespoon of sugar and put it on your tongue,
be 100.
It's about 100. And so you are immediately absorbing, and people don't understand this, you are immediately absorbing some of that into your digestive system just through the mouth.
Oh.
Okay? It's already triggered. The sweet taste has already triggered a cascade of events that is happening, and you are raising your blood sugar immediately.
And what happens when your blood sugar gets raised?
When the blood sugar gets raised, there's an emergency response in the system. Okay? And we you can just like picture the red police lights going on. As soon as there's sugar entered, high glycemic food enters the system, particularly in large quantities, because what happens is sugar is addictive. So we want more and more and more of it, because we're trained, and there's a biology there because of that that causes that. But what happens is you get a spike in blood sugar right away. Well, high blood sugar will kill you, okay, immediately. So we have this adorable little thing called the pancreas, which works very, very hard all of the time. And the pancreas does two things. Number one, it secretes an alkaline base into the digestive system at the small intestine that helps digest food at the small intestine. But the other thing that it does is it secretes a hormone called insulin. This insulin is responsible in large part for getting the blood sugar levels back down to a safe and healthy level, okay? So it's working constantly. Now, if you influx large amounts of sugar, then the pancreas has to work very, very hard to pump insulin into the bloodstream, Okay. So what ends up happening is your blood sugar goes up, you get a spike, and then it plummets and it goes down. And what's your body do? It thinks it's out of sugar, so it asks for more. And this is where the addiction comes from, is there is a physical need for more sugar. So you are doing the up, down all day.
So people that constantly eat sweets would have this addiction, you think?
Mm-hmm.
So like chocolate.
Absolutely. Chocolate, you know, chocolate is one. But also think about all the chips and the crackers and the cookies. Those are high glycemic index foods. Pretzels? Popcorn. Very high glycemic index. These are in the 80s. These glycemic indexes are in the 80s. So what ends up happening is you end up hungry again, and it triggers an overeating. And so people never are satisfied because they're not eating those two things that you're going to hear me talk a lot about today, protein and fiber. People are not slowing down the absorption of the sugar. And so the body keeps requesting more and more and more.
So popcorn. So you go to the movies and you eat popcorn.
Oh, kiss of death. That stuff is awful. I used to make it in college. It's disgusting. So popcorn, movie popcorn is just the grossest stuff.
Even if it's made with the right oil?
Well, if you're going to make it at home,
yeah,
and you can get pretty healthy options, but how many people do you know pop their own popcorn in like a super healthy oil?
Nobody. No one. What is this? What's a super healthy oil anyway?
You know, that's going to be, well, they would say safflower and canola oil, but now we also know that those go rancid very quickly. So if it's been sitting in your cupboards for any length of time, it's probably not any good anymore. Olive oil is always your best. Not a good boiling point for it, though. You know, your best the popcorn is not the healthy option everybody thinks it is. Air popped.
That's
you could
okay.
do that. Yeah, that would be your best. And then do that with some nuts and something else that's a lower glycemic index, and then you'd probably be fine.
So you're saying it's really the oil that creates the popcorn being at a high glycemic index?
No. It's just the corn itself.
Oh, just the corn itself.
It's grain. It's grain.
Oh, my.
Very high glycemic index. And the oil just saturates the body with a bunch of fat it doesn't need to have. If you remember Susan talking last time about we already have too much vegetable oil in our diet because
That's
everything's
right.
made with it, particularly your cheap stuff like your sunflower, your safflower, your soy. You know, those our body doesn't need any more omega-6s.
That is amazing. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we'll come back, we'll continue our discussion. We're talking about sugar, alcoholism, and inflammation, how they're related, and how they really impact one's body, probably
huge.
Mindset too,
I'm
going to guess. And this is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Mind Your Body, starring Journey Reeves, fitness guru, I should say, Journey Reeves. Every first Monday from 3 to 4, we've been talking about sugar. We will talk about alcoholism and inflammation, but sugar seems like the kiss of death. That's what how you're describing it.
It does, and the reason why is because it is so necessary. We need it to exist, but we need it in small doses at the right times.
And through the right foods, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, here's the thing. You can eat high glycemic index foods. They are not off base completely, but you have to do it at the right time. The best time to eat a high glycemic index food is right after exercise.
Oh, really? Okay?
So if you are an exerciser, not only should you be eating carbohydrates, you have to be eating carbohydrates. And post-workout, the fastest way to recover is to balance a good amount of high glycemic index carbohydrate. That's why Gatorade is so popular, and we're going to talk about Gatorade in just a second. But small amounts, again, it doesn't have to be huge amounts, but that's the time as you want after immediately post-exercise, particularly if it went over an hour, you want to replace your glucose, okay, because that's going to refuel the glycogen that's in your muscle. It's going to help you rebuild your muscle, and a small amount of protein along with that. So there's that protein again. So a lot of people will say, you know, what's a good recovery food? There's a lot of people out there who swear by chocolate milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of chocolate milk because I'm not a huge fan of dairy, but there's a lot of good options out there. There's a lot of things that are out there right now that are good post-recovery, and this is the thing. If you don't exercise, you have no business drinking sugar. So if you're having a Gatorade and you haven't worked out in 4 years,
you know what?
You might as well just have a beer at that point because it's just calories.
So people that like movies, that like popcorn, work out, then go to the movies.
Exactly. Yes.
And then
work
it's
out,
so-so.
And then you can sit and you can do. And the longer you exercise and the more intensely you exercise, the more carbohydrate you get to have. Direct relationship.
Oh, so there's an incentive to really exercise a lot every day. Now, what's the time frame between after working out and when you can have these carbohydrates?
Ideally 45 minutes post-workout. Anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour and a half. It's sort of like the window closes. Okay? So after 90 minutes, forget it, it's over. Because you're hungry for glucose, and your muscle cells will pick up any glucose that's running around in the bloodstream and grab it and take it. After about 90 minutes, that window's shut.
So how about this for maybe a new business is have one of the theaters, a movie theaters, have a workout place attached so they can immediately get in there and have some popcorn.
Why not?
All right.
Should put a fitness center in every building.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Is.
Hey, that's I think that'd be great. So sugar. So you want to talk more about what this does and how this, well, it's needed, but like you said, you don't want to overdo it.
Yep, and as I was researching for the show, the American Diabetic Association, so anybody out there who is diabetic or pre-diabetic, which has its own host of symptoms, and if you are pre-diabetic, you've been diagnosed as pre-diabetic, or you have pre-diabetes symptoms, which is the extreme thirst, and then you definitely want to go get your blood checked and make sure that your glucose...
Extreme thirst.
Yeah, extreme thirst and your unexplained weight loss or weight gain, and all of a sudden you just can tell things are off, okay?
Yeah.
And it's usually related to what we call a pre-diabetic state. You look for your triglycerides in your blood work, and then also your fasting glucose numbers. Those are two things that you want to get checked if you're thinking that something might be off, okay? If you are diabetic or pre-diabetic, the American Diabetes Association is a wonderful resource for you. You just go online and you start researching this stuff, and they're going to give you what you need. Now, what I found was the economic costs, and you know I love to talk politics.
Anytime
I can throw economics and politics into this, I do. Economic costs of diabetes in the United States, and this was in 2007, so remember, everything's gotten worse over time, okay? So, but this is the ones that they're publishing now because they don't do the studies every year. The national cost of diabetes in 2007 exceeded $174 billion.
Whoa. Wow, that's a big problem.
That's a big problem because remember we talked about last time with Susan that this is a preventable illness?
Yeah.
No one, except your type 1 diabetes, no one, and that's a very small percentage of the population, no one should have diabetes. No one should have pre-diabetes. This is something that our society created. This is a disease that as soon as we went on a low-fat bandwagon, we created things like obesity and diabetes. They skyrocketed.
Low-fat creates obesity?
Yep. Because what you did is everybody wanted the taste and they wanted the flavor, but they wanted to eat low fat because low fat created, you know, fat was the bad guy, right? All of a sudden you weren't allowed to eat steak anymore. Remember that?
Right.
Okay, so at the exact same time that's happening, the pop manufacturers are switching from real sugar to high fructose corn syrup, which our body can't process, doesn't know how to process it. So at the same time, we're reducing the fat out of our diets, and now all of a sudden we're hungry, so we're looking for something to eat that tastes good. We'll just add sugar to everything because that tastes really good and it's low fat, right? So our sugar consumption as a society went through the roof in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, and now we have the diabetic issue that we do
today.
Oh,
my, what a connection that is. I had no idea. How about marshmallows?
That would be a very high glycemic index food.
Yeah, because that's like all sugar, isn't it?
And, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you that if there's a bag of marshmallows around, I'm all over it because it is so yummy. But I also understand that I will take my serving and I will eat it, and then I will eat something with fiber and protein with it.
Or you work out for 2 hours and then have a couple.
Yeah, you know what? I wish I had the luxury of working out for 2 hours every day. People are like, you work out all the time. I'm like, are you kidding? I run in and run out of that gym. And anybody who sees me at the gym knows that I am like knocking it out and out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time.
Wow.
I would love to. When I retire, I'm going to exercise all day. I've already decided.
You're too young to retire.
I'm not retiring anytime soon.
I didn't think so. You look way too young. So, okay.
Okay, so.
The economics. So that was startling.
Yeah, $174 billion. Okay. Ugh. Now, that doesn't take into account the heart disease and the other problems that come along with diabetes. People are having their foot cut off from gangrene and they're going blind and they have all these different other problems associated with the diabetes that's not even accounted for this, okay? Now, it also has $58 billion in reduced national productivity, okay? Because these people are now missing work, okay?
Oh.
People with diagnosed diabetes on average have medical expenditures that are approximately 2.3 times higher than anyone else.
That is amazing.
So if I'm an employer, and I think I might have sent you this link today, and it's on my website and it's on my Facebook page. If I'm an employer and I'm paying for your health care, is this an issue for me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
2.3 times. If I'm an insurance company, what is the premium going to look like for that person in the future going forward? Because insurance companies are now starting to say, look, if you have metabolic syndrome, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you have all of this metabolic syndrome X stuff, you are going to pay more than your neighbor who does not. Period, the end. So it's starting to make an economic impact at the very grassroots level. And it's about time. It needed to happen.
So this is going to be interesting for employers then. Mm-hmm. Then how is that going to impact maybe hiring practices, maybe starting salaries.
I mean, is it discriminatory?
That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. What a big old can of worms. And it came through on my LinkedIn this morning. I always sit with my cup of coffee and go through all my new, like whatever's new in the industry. This is huge. This is going to blow up huge. And honestly, you know, everybody's going to pick a side and everybody's going to say it's my right and it's, you know, you can't violate my privacy and blah, blah, blah. You know what? If I'm your employer and I'm paying for your health care, I'm going to have a say. I'm absolutely going to have
this is going to be a mess.
It's going to be a huge mess. Now, here's another statistic that I absolutely loved. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Diabetes. Approximately one in every 10 healthcare dollars is attributed right towards diabetes.
Wow, so it's
one
is growing.
In 10. 10% of every healthcare dollar that is paid for in this country, which is already, you know, trillions and trillions, right? 10% of that, diabetes alone. And preventable illness.
And even and the young kids are getting it now,
Yes. We've started at about age 8, 9, 10 now. We're starting to get type 2 diabetes. We don't even call it adult onset anymore because it's not adult onset.
That is unbelievable.
These are the kids who were fed, you know, constantly to get them to quiet down. And, you know, here's some juice. Here's some Cheerios. Here's some high fructose corn syrup. Here's some artificially flavored gummy bears. Here's some, it's ice cream. It's like feeding these kids constantly. Sure, what did you think was going to happen? But unfortunately, no one tells anybody this stuff. Nobody knows this stuff. That's why I have to come on the radio and go blah, blah, blah.
How do you know all this? It just rolls right out of you. I'm impressed.
It's just what I do. It's just I have been passionate about it for so long. And again, you know, I've been in this business 30 years, Dave. None of this is new. None of this is new. It's just getting worse. It's to the point now, and Susan and I had that conversation last month, where it's just getting worse.
Unbelievable. Let's take a quick break so people can digest this information. Yeah, I thought that was a good one. Anyway, this is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves. And we'll be right back to continue our discussion. We're talking about sugar. We will be talking about alcoholism and inflammation and how this can really severely impact one's life. We'll be right back.
Tax time is here again. Let Berenbaum and Spiegel relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business such as a partnership or a corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Berenbaum and Spiegel has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spiegel, CPA.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the first Monday from 3 to 4, it is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves. We've been talking about sugar and its impact on people, politics, and economics regarding diabetes and other areas that are just productivity alone, you said, is the loss of productivity, I should say, is just a huge problem. And will continue to be a huge problem. That means cost of products will go up because someone has to pay for loss of productivity, and it'll be the consumer.
Well, in the first place, we're seeing it, obviously, is in the insurance premiums. Everybody's, you know, every year those insurance premiums going up. Why do you think that is?
Yeah.
You know, because we're getting more and more expensive as a nation to try to keep healthy.
So we took the wrong approach, perhaps. Maybe it should be on wellness and not it's not so much about having, I mean, it's good to have health care for everyone. However, maybe it's about preventive medicine and doing the right thing. I think we maybe took the wrong starting point.
Absolutely. Well, and it, you know, again, and I've said this a million times, you can tell I'm kind of passionate about this
stuff, absolutely.
Right? The big thing is that people need to understand that the doctors in this country are trained to heal disease.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they learned.
That's what they do. People don't go to a doctor unless they're sick. Unfortunately, now everybody's sick. Now we have to go, what do we do now? So there's a couple of buzzwords out there right now. Functional medicine, okay? And Dr. Mark Hyman is sort of at the forefront of this. So he has a book that revolutionized a lot of people's lives, and it revolutionized the way I did my practice my business, called Ultra Metabolism, and that's by Dr. Mark Hyman, and that is a huge eye-opener, and it should be on every bookshelf in this country, okay? One of the things that we also need to understand, there's functional medicine. You'll also hear integrative medicine, okay? And that's where we integrate the conventional stuff that we know works and fixing the disease from the back end, but also integrating the naturopathic and the natural and the homeopathic and the nutritional part of it, and blending those together. So if you see someone who practices integrative medicine, they're either classically trained or they're naturopathically trained using some classic type of modalities along with that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's, you know, so you'll see more and more of that, and hopefully the insurance companies will get on the bandwagon and start understanding that there's a lot of value in the preventative end of things. We know a lot of this stuff can be reversed if we catch it in time. So that should be the first thing that doctors are looking at, is not how do we medicate it, because we talked about that last time, where we have people who are on four or five different kinds of medication to control all of these syndrome X symptoms, instead of getting to the heart of the matter, which is, you know, good old-fashioned diet and exercise. Yeah. I hate to say it. Everybody out there doesn't like what I have to say, and I'm the most popular person in the world, but it's the truth. And
but it's life-saving, need to start, so, you know, absolutely. You're helping people. Off there on the break, we were talking about how media drives addictions, and you want to chime in on that just briefly?
I do. And there, again, I'm going to throw in another book there for people to read, called Mindless Eating. And I don't remember the author offhand, but he's a food researcher who was hired for years by the food companies to study how to get people to buy their products. Okay, so he's not a doctor, he's not a dietitian, he's a food researcher who finally said, back up the truck, hold on here, what is going on? We know that if we're visual creatures, if we see food, okay, or we smell food, but if the visual, we see food, we will become hungry. We will start the cascade of digestive events, and we will go and we will find food to satisfy that craving. The media understands this. So the people who have had a hard day at work, they've eaten their dinner, they sit on that couch, they're full, they're not hungry, they had enough food, okay, probably more than enough food. They sit on a couch and they start seeing images of what, Dave?
Images of cakes, pies, right?
Yeah.
Ice
cream. Chips, crackers, restaurants. I mean, that's when the food commercials come on, is when they have a captive audience. So what do you do with a commercial break? You go up and you start looking for food. Not because you're hungry, but because your brain is telling you that it's time for food.
It's a trigger point. It's an anchor, as they call in NLP. And it anchors people probably physiologically as well.
It's a physiological response.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question. Okay. You know how powerful that brain is, right? And we don't just shut those images off. So unless you take that remote control and you turn off the TV and you go out for a walk, you are doomed to continue your life exactly the way that you've always lived it. And then you're going to come to me whining and crying and complaining about the fact that your jeans don't fit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to give you the bust upside the head, turn the freaking TV off. We don't even have TV. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. You don't?
Nope.
So no TV.
There's no TV. There's no cable. We have internet. So we're not completely disconnected.
Yeah, so you could still watch something on the internet.
We're still aware.
But you can avoid the
commercials.
On.
Well, you know, and just the garbage. There's nothing good on TV. There's just nothing that good. People are like, oh, how do you miss Ice Road Truckers? You know what? I have never for one day said, dang it, I missed Ice Road Truckers tonight.
I never heard of that.
Oh, it's one of those reality shows.
Oh, I don't watch much TV.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend who just loved to watch TV, so I would go to his house and sit there and watch these shows.
He was a couch potato?
Yes, but he also was an amazing athlete. So this was at the end of the day. I mean, he just ran a marathon in the Antarctica just because he could. So, but he had a TV thing. Like, he was into these shows. Yeah, and he was eating the food shows. This is the we talk about the marketing. I'm like, turn on the food channel for a while. You're going to get hungry.
Oh, yeah, those chefs.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you not get hungry?
Yeah, that's a good point. So media, there's so many things involved in this. And
yep.
And no wonder, I mean, we're bombarded with things like this. And then you add in stress where maybe eating food is a somewhat a temporary stress relief. At least it's camouflaged.
Sure. Yeah. It, you know, and we're going to talk about that a lot today. The reward center in the brain is looking for a reward. And food is a great one for most. I would say, you know, if I had to guess, just the general population, you've got 60-70% of the people in this country who use food to solve emotional issues. It's that big.
Yeah.
It's that big. And it's that dangerous because really, unless people get to a point where they start to understand that food is fuel and food is refuel and that's all food is, it's not your best friend. It's not your worst enemy. It's not, you know, your partner.
It is in certain parts of the country.
Exactly.
But so you're saying, okay, so food is a can medicate issues, and so can alcohol.
Yes.
So,
yep.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
I would like to talk about alcohol. I want to just open up a big old can of worms.
Yeah, let's
today.
Do it.
Let's do these can of worms.
Yes.
I want to start by saying that alcohol is digested almost exactly the same as sugar is.
Really?
Yep. So we have sort of a dichotomy of people who – here's the thing about alcohol. Alcohol is socially acceptable, okay? It's why it's such a problem is because it's okay. It's totally legal to drink a couple beers every night and not a problem. And there's even some medical studies out there that will tell you, oh, well, you know, it's healthy for you, okay?
I heard wine might be, but I didn't
hear – Wine and beer, both.
Beer is,
yep.
too?
Yeah, because it, it depends on who you are and how much you're drinking of it, right?
Yeah.
So here's for the record. Here is the and I have a blog on this, and it's also an article that's on my website and is coming out on the Smart Femme website as well. Okay, called Alcohol, and the research says that 4 ounces of wine for women and up to 6 to 7 ounces of wine for men per day is healthy. Now, show me what 4 ounces of wine looks like. I know what my pores look like. They're not 4 ounces.
It filled the studio, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, 4 ounces
is
healthy. Okay, so if you took a shot glass and
how
you filled
one
it
of
up
those
four
glasses?
Times.
A smile if you're right on breakradioshow.com, you could see it. So about a half.
Halfway up the little plastic.
Oh, that's not bad,
plastic.
Right?
No, but how many people do you know, and men can have a little bit more?
Oh, a whole glass almost.
Yeah, a whole glass almost. So that's what's healthy per day. How many people do you know stop at that per day?
No, they stop at, you know. Like,
when the bottle is empty is when they stop, right?
When the liquor store is empty is when they stop.
Some people. But, you know, what you have to remember is that you don't have to be an alcoholic, quote unquote, and there's a sketchy definition of that anyway that we'll get into later. But if you are drinking more than the safe amount of alcohol for your body, okay, and it's different for everyone. If you are drinking more than the safe amount of alcohol per week, you have an alcohol problem because it's poison. So let's go back. We talked about sugar and how that's processed. Let's go back and talk about alcohol and how it's processed. Here's what you need to know. When you drink alcohol, you might as well be drinking a can of gasoline. It's that dangerous. Okay, so the first thing, again, red light starts spinning. Body's got to get rid of it because it'll kill you. Okay, so this is where the liver comes into play, and now it's going to
not the pancreas anymore. Now it's the liver.
Well, the pancreas too, because it's also got to raise the insulin levels because there's sugar involved in that alcohol.
Oh, especially wine, right?
Yep, exactly, and any of your cocktails and stuff. Okay,
like
so
bourbon.
Bourbon's just put a gun to your head. And
yeah,
pull the
vodka.
Trigger.
See, you could tell I'm not much of a drinker.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, there's a rationale out there that if it's a clear liquid, it's better than a dark liquid. You know what? If it's alcohol, it's poison.
Alcohol.
Yeah. So, and everybody's body responds differently to different stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Like, I don't touch vodka. Why?
You don't.
It makes me mean.
Mean?
It makes me mean, and I want to be mean.
Wow.
So I just don't drink. I don't drink vodka. I don't drink very much.
What's your drink then?
Red wine, mostly, or margaritas in the summer.
How about Riesling?
No. Ew.
Oh, you don't like it? Oh.
No. I'm not. But right now, I'm not drinking at all.
Oh,
so
good.
So I've just decided that I need to
What's
lose some
weight
for something.
What's in your glass over there, though? Oh, it's water. Okay.
Gin.
Yeah.
But anyway, when it gets released into the bloodstream right away, which is why you get that buzz right away, okay? It goes into the bloodstream immediately. And so then it's the liver's constantly filtering. And so it goes into the liver, and the liver has to get rid of it so you don't die, okay? It turns it into another type of acetyl alcohol that is actually an acid that's also poison, okay? So you can, that's which is the thing that gives you the hangover the next day. It's got to go through one more process. The enzymes have to do their work one more time to distribute it out of the body, okay? If you're drinking water while you're drinking the alcohol, it helps significantly with this process and getting it flushed through.
How about coffee? I hear.
No, that would dehydrate you even worse.
Oh, people say, oh, drink coffee after.
That's just to wake you up. Yeah, to get you sober. And you know what? Here's the thing. For those of you who think that actually works, it doesn't. It just makes you.
It's a movie trick.
Yeah, it gives you a caffeinated alcohol buzz.
You're more awake and obnoxious than ever happens when people do that.
Absolutely not going to decrease the toxicity that you are experiencing.
How does the body know how to do all this stuff? Convert this to that?
The miracle of the human body, isn't it? And that's why I never get sick of learning, because it's just so
pretty
cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and when people start to understand what is going on inside their body, they're a lot less likely to fill it with garbage.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's why I educate. That's why I come on the show.
Yeah.
That's why I do my writing. That's why I do the public stuff that I do, because I think that the more people know, the better it gets. You know, you're not going to fill your body with garbage. And I remember I have a friend of mine that started in the fitness business a couple years back, and she used to take my class all the time. And I said one day, you know, your body is not a garbage disposal. Don't treat it like one. And she, for whatever reason, that just clicked with her.
Oh.
And so she actually shares that everywhere she goes now.
Oh, wow.
In her career. She started in a fitness career kind of a little bit later in her life because she just was so passionate about it. And she just moved to Colorado. And she's sharing, you know, the message, and it's just an important, important message. So.
Well, you've had some really good sayings today, like you might as well drink gasoline if you want to drink too much alcohol.
Yes, we call these journeyisms.
Journeyisms
I love it. Come flying out of me pretty regularly.
These are good ones. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll do our last segment. And, of course, this is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves, talking about sugar, alcohol, and inflammation. And I guess we'll talk more about alcoholism. That seems to be a big topic, and it may, I think people should know. Let's put it that way.
It's the elephant in the room. We'll talk about the elephant in the room.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time Went On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves. We've been talking about sugar, alcoholism. We may get to inflammation, but let's talk about alcohol versus alcoholism. I think that's a key question that people may want to know.
I think, you know, and I think we before we ruffle any more feathers, Dave, we should probably start by saying that alcohol in and of itself is not a bad thing.
Right.
Okay, but we have to understand that it is what it is, and it is a poison to our bodies.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are not moral judgments that I'm making. This is not anything other than, look, here's the human body, here's the substance, here's how the two mesh. Every single person has a different and very unique biology.
Mm.
Okay, so you can't say, you know, well, you've got to stop drinking completely. You know what? That's not for us to determine. That's for
right.
you to determine.
Yeah.
That's for the individual to decide with them and their family members and the people who are affected.
Okay? Makes sense.
So here's my thing on addiction. Alcohol is not bad, okay? But we do know that people who are using it to medicate themselves, okay, it becomes a part of their DNA. Their cells are full of alcohol. If you're drinking every day, understand that your body is accepting that as a normal part of your life, okay? And it is going to start deteriorating your body. There's the inflammation response, but there's also it's killing cells faster than you can regenerate them, so it's aging you faster.
Alcohol
right?
does that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
All toxins do. All toxins do, but alcohol is the one toxin that people are consistently putting into their bodies. So I'm not saying don't drink every day. That's not for me to say. What I'm saying is here's what it's doing to your body, and is that what you really want to happen?
Yeah.
So the difference between alcohol consumption, alcohol abuse, and alcoholism is something that goes beyond my scope and my depth of what I do as a professional. But I can tell you that if you have ever been told you have an alcohol problem, you probably do. Because you're always the last to know. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard one person go, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go get help. Okay. It takes what?
Courage.
Yeah. And it takes rock bottom. It
yeah.
takes something horrible
oh, yeah.
to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So I usually say, where's the line between a drinker and a drunk? It's when it affects your life in a negative way.
Yeah.
When you're losing relationships, DUI is a big one.
Oh,
you know, when
huge.
when you get a DUI, and this is, I was very, very in love with an alcoholic at one time, actually more than one, but one in the recent future, and just loved the man when he wasn't drinking.
You okay? said in just the recent future.
In the recent past.
ESP, okay. Oh, see, that was a Freudian slip.
I know.
Slip.
I wonder if
Uh-oh.
That was. Oh, my gosh. But
Next
anyway.
Next one could be, okay.
He was the most amazing man. Smart, funny, fun, good looking, great guy. But, you know, and you and Leah talk about when you date somebody, you date their PR person for a
yeah.
while and then the real person comes
oh,
out.
Yeah.
Well, it became very obvious pretty about, you know, 2 months in that there was an alcohol problem here. There was not one day he didn't drink. And he kept it kind of under wraps for a while and then it reared its ugly head. And then I found out that he had an extreme DUI.
Ooh.
And he had gotten that before I met him, okay? So it was one of those things where it was like, and then we went out for, and he had like 9 alcoholic beverages in 2 hours, and I just went.
9?
I literally had a panic attack that night because I was just like, I can't do this. I come from an alcoholic family. I know what this is, and there's no help in this person. And it was a very sad day for me. But he said to me at one time, and I think that this is very, this is very clear when you're dealing with somebody who has an alcohol problem but they don't know they have the alcohol problem, is he says to me, well, that extreme DUI could have happened to anyone.
You're kidding me.
Okay, and so here's me going, and I didn't say it because I know better than you don't fight these people. I'm thinking to myself, no, it only happens to people who drink excessively and get
yeah.
behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen
to
everybody.
That little guy walking across the street.
Exactly. And I just, at that point, I knew you can't help these people. They need to be ready.
So
they
he was in denial.
Help. Oh, I'm sure he still is. I don't even know where he is.
How did he end it, can I ask?
I handled that particular evening pretty badly, and that set off the cascade of events that led to the demise of the relationship.
Well, probably a good thing, though.
But here's – I want to quote from A New View of Alcoholism, which is a book that's out there. They're changing the way that they treat alcoholism. They're also changing the way that they define alcoholism. So, you know, if you know somebody who's got a problem, hang on, because there are solutions and there are answers, and that's the good news. And you need – okay, a moment's insight is sometimes worth a life's experience. That's Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Yeah.
Okay. Knowledge is power. Francis Bacon. The more you know about a problem, the better equipped you are to solve it. Period. Okay? You'll learn when you learn about alcohol addiction and you learn why you crave it, then you can start to manage it and deal with it. And you don't need necessarily – I'm not saying don't go to 12-step if that's what's going to help you. But there are ways physiologically that you can break the addiction, okay, without having to break the bank and go to treatment and all the other things. But you need to have a professional who knows what they're doing helping you with it. And that obviously goes beyond my scope. But I did want to mention that there's a lot of good help out there. You know, there's the new perspective on alcoholism is that it's curable. We can fix it. But it takes some time. And that's, you know, what are we? We want it all fixed. We want it all now. I mean, it's, you know, there's people who are like, I stopped drinking 7 years ago. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Well, after 7 years, you're not an alcoholic anymore. Every cell in your body has regenerated. There's no alcoholism left in your body. Now it's a behavioral decision. Are you going to go back down that road or are you not? And so you have a huge success rate with anybody who's been able to stop drinking for 7 years. There's really good probability that they won't unless there's some catastrophic, horrible thing that happens in their life and they turn back to drinking. But if you've been 7 years, you know, there's a really good chance that that is no longer going to be your issue. Now, can you trade addictions? Yep. Whole nother show.
Yeah.
Whole
oh, that show. That would be a good show, too. But that's interesting. So the new thought out there is that where, you know, there's certain groups, they say, I am an alcoholic. No longer do you make you're bringing it to your identity when you say that. But if it's a behavior issue, it's something that, hey, this is a disease that is curable. And you're saying after 7 years, the new studies or what you've read shows that, hey, it could be out of your system totally.
Totally. And even sooner than that, but 7 years is the
– yeah.
Every single cell in your body has regenerated at that point. There is no you left. That 7 years ago, you're a completely different person now than you were then.
Wow.
And people don't understand that either. You know, you weren't constantly cellular regenerating. So 5 to 7 years, depending on how fast you regenerate, you're a brand new person. Okay, so, you know, if you are looking at it from a purely physical, physiological standpoint, you know, you're recovering alcoholic because of the behaviors.
Right.
It's no longer, and it doesn't, and it should be a part of your identity. I don't think anybody should be walking around saying, I'm an alcoholic,
yeah.
I'm a recovering
yeah.
alcoholic, I'm a this, I'm a that.
Yeah.
You know what you are? You're a human being.
Absolutely.
With issues like everybody else.
Yeah, that's well said. I appreciate you saying that. Neurolinguistic programming really believes that, too, as well. And it may go against some of the popular beliefs, but it the key is it effective? And what you're saying is effective.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing, and this is how we'll close the show today, is are you making good decisions on furthering your health, okay? Are you making decisions day in and day out that help your health get better and stay healthy and well? Or are you sabotaging yourself either A, from no education, you just don't understand that you're doing it, which is what I'm trying to fix, or B, you've decided you just don't care, which then becomes a conscious decision on your part. You got to stop blaming everybody else for your problems and take accountability for what are you putting in your mouth and how are you what are you putting on your body and how are you handling things.
And how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, best way to get a hold of me, 480-370-7768, or you can go to my website, www.mindbodyunlimited.com.
Right.
And you can also check me out on my Facebook page because I always got good stuff going on there.
Excellent. You're a great writer, too. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next month, first Monday between 3 and 4. Journey Reeves, fitness guru, thank you so much. This was enlightening today.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I hope people took notes.
Oh, yeah, I think they will. And we'll see everyone tomorrow. Green Roundtable and what was the other show? Green Roundtable. I can't remember. I should remember that, Tommy. What is the other show from 2 to 3? Oh, it's a Bottom Line. Of course. All right. We'll see everyone tomorrow.